Cultivated Being Podcast. Welcome to the Cultivated Being. You guys are in the right place. I know you probably have nothing better to do right now, number one, but this is a great place. Hey, this is where positivity happens. This is where you're going to learn some sweet, hot and spicy health hacks to get you through the week, to upgrade your life, to cultivate your being. I'm here. My name is Dr. Nick Hyde. This is my brother, Dr. Jake Hyde. What's up?
Hey, everybody. I'm still here. Despite Nick's best efforts, I'm still podcasting and I'm doing well. Healthy, happy. A little stressed about the whole thing, if I'm just being perfectly honest, but I'm not stressed about getting ill. I want to make that clear. I'm just stressed about, like, you know, my neighbors, my fellow man, society in general. How are you feeling, Nick?
Pretty good. Just took my blood pressure right when we were starting. I'm in a new location. There's a blood, like a robot blood pressure thing right next to me, and blood pressure's good.
Oh yeah, how good?
Well, let's not get into the details. My diastolic might be a little higher than I was expecting, but my systolic is at, you know, a nice 120.
That's the most important one.
But yeah, you know what? I'm trying to come from a place where I see the whole world with, you know, acceptance and forgiveness and harmony. And the truth is, coming from that place, I think everyone can hopefully say at some point or another, and in reference to this time of our life, you know, that this was the best thing that could have happened.
Well said, Nick. I'm hoping the same thing with me. Like, in any given conversation I have with a person, I can rattle off 10 things that I hate about the situation, or like 10 positives that I think could really happen because of it. It's really like, it wavers like from moment to moment, like whatever perspective I choose. It's like, yeah, I could see a lot of good. I mean, there's not really a lot of good of people like getting sick and dying or suffering unnecessarily, but we should be honest. That always happens.
Yeah.
And it's always happened. And people get sick and die at an alarming rate. And it's rare that we actually bring attention to it. And sometimes it's good that we do hyper focus on the fact that people get infected and die from various cornucopia of diseases all the time. And to be fair, the least we've ever done, like infectious diseases, is like at an all time, we're being pretty good about it. Human standpoint, but it's getting a lot of attention right now, isn't it, Nick?
It is. And you know, it has kind of come to my attention, right, where we're studying all these people who are unfortunately passing, that there are a lot of people who unfortunately pass that no one ever studies or looks at or gives credence or attention to. And that's been, you know, a moment of empathy and compassion that, okay, well, there's at this point a little over 100 people who died from the coronavirus in the U.S. And I don't know the exact number at this point, but, you know, 100 people died from a car accident yesterday. And that's the average in the U.S., but 8,000 people on average die every day in the U.S. just from all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Very true, Nick. Very true.
And we are all dying at some point, which is important. You know, it's like when you go to a good funeral where it's happy and everything was like, that was, you know, this person was a good person and it was their time to go. You're confronted with, obviously, our mortality, but it's not in a bad way. It's like, okay, yeah, this is going to happen. And like, what am I here to do? Why am I still here? I got some other stuff to do. and when it's my time to go, I can't prevent it. Right. There's nothing I can do to prevent the fact that I'm going to die at some point.
Nick, there's a terror theory out there in, you could say anthropology, but the theory is that everything that humans do can be traced down to terror, in regards mostly to the fear of death. Even leisure things like art in this theory are reduced down to just things we've created to not be thinking about death, because otherwise that's all we would think about.
All right, I follow that.
Yeah, and even like culture is a way to like distract us, or even like even religion in this theory is like a way to provide context for life and purpose and afterlife and such like that. So I don't subscribe to, but interesting theory. Everything we do is a result or to some degree motivated by terror. Hey, Nick, I have something to share with the listeners that's not motivated by terror, I don't think.
We'll see about that.
I just want to do a quick plug. After the tornado in Nashville, the animal shelters were at a capacity, over capacity. And there's a great company in East Nashville called East Can, I think like short for canine. And they are essentially an animal shelter without an actual property. And they just kind of help and they like place dogs or find temporary homes. So we're fostering a doggy who is wonderful and super ready to be adopted. She is like, I don't know, 3-year-old pit bull who's clearly had a litter already. But she's just wonderful. So we brought her in with like really no anything about her. This person's like, she really needs for people to see that she can live in a home. And we're like, okay, we didn't really think about it too much. We're like, we'll see if she can live in a home. And she immediately proved that she could. And she's wonderful. And she's a lot of fun. And she's ready to be adopted. If you're one of our listeners around here and want to take on a beautiful white, I don't know anything about pit bulls, but some neighbor said like, whoa, this is like a really rare special kind that's like over 80% white.
Yeah, and she is stunning.
She looks like a little Rascals dog a little bit.
She does. She totally does. Yeah. She looks like she's sweet and she's got those soft ears.
Oh yeah, so soft and floppy. Anyway, I didn't want to take too much of the pod.
Yeah.
But that's a thing, and also it's a need probably anywhere, but definitely after the tornado there was like a major need for dogs to be placed somewhere. So even if you can't adopt, but you're like, I'm in quarantine and I'm kind of bored and I'll just like host a dog. It's really healthy to get dogs out of shelters. Shelters are not the best conditions for dogs to be themselves. And they get adopted more easily when they act like themselves, right? Which is in a home, not in like a weird dog prison. Shelters are no fun. Yeah. No fun at all.
I would not want to spend a night in a shelter. Hey, since we're talking about this stuff, you know, that's a fantastic thing. And she looks really sweet and I would totally take her, but, I do want to say I've heard a lot of goodwill stuff going around and it's been amazing to hear that, you know, like I have a bunch of elderly patients I'm doing house calls for and they each said that everyone on their street has been contacting them and knocking on their door and be like, hey, can I get anything for you from the store or what do you need or blah, blah, blah. That's been pretty amazing to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Humans are pretty great. As far as all the species go, boy, can we do destructive things, but pretty great.
A little more compassionate than most animals by our nature. And I want to put this out there to our listeners. I know we have listeners all over the place. Maybe you are hunkered down somewhere. Maybe you're in Nashville. Maybe you're in the Bay Area or whatever. Jake and I, we want to reduce our rates, make anything very easy for you. If you want to just have ask us a few questions about your health on an email, send it to us. If you want to have a consultation, we are offering reduced rates for consultations online. I just made that up. I know Jake's looking at me like, what? Yeah, we are.
I sent a thing to my Nashville people, but I'll expand it to our international market. I was getting to do for virtual consults and virtual sessions with me that I would offer a pay whatever you want to pay session. As long as my schedule allows for it. So right now my schedule is way more open than it normally is. I'm not really seeing people in person. So this is a good time. If you want to book me, it's a pay what you're comfortable paying. A lot of people in Nashville are in music or service or touring or on a crew and they're not actively working right now. And it's very stressful for them, which is why I created this option for people. But that's true for a lot of people in the world. And you know what, if you're doing well and you're getting paid salary to sit at home right now, that's awesome. You can pay full price if you want.
Yeah. Or you could scholarship or you could scholarship someone else. But, I mean, I do have people, I have some people who'll do that because I've always used a sliding scale and some people will be like, hey, I know your rate is just this, but I'd like to give you this. And I'm like, cool. I also had one person who came, never was a patient, gave me $500 and was like, I want you just to scholarship however far this goes, I want you to scholarship some people. I was like, yeah, cool. That's awesome, you know? And I did, of course. Just $500. It's easy to scholarship people. Jake and I are in the business of helping people with stress, with emotions, with neurology stuff, with diet and nutrition. And, you know, this is what people need right now. So if you're one of those people, reach out. We're here to help you guys in any way that we can, even if it means no money involved, that's cool.
Nick, the internet is alive. Hold on.
1 second. Yeah.
The internet is buzzing with all the health stuff in the world. Everyone's posted about everything. Everyone's very interested in health right now. And I think that's very cool. A couple cool things I think is going to come from this time. One, 200 million scientists/doctors are like thinking about a problem right now. And it's very rare that you have that many really great minds thinking about a problem. So really cool things are going to come from that. But the other thing is currently, there's really nothing we can do about this illness that everyone's focused on. Meaning like there's not a shot or a pill that you could take or a procedure necessarily that's going to save you from it. So what can you do, Nick? The answer is be healthy. Be as healthy as possible, which is the message Nick and I have been promoting for a while and actively trying to live out. And that's really the best thing you can do right now. It's really the only thing you can do. And I'm hoping this creates a culture of people saying, I want to be as healthy as I can. And, you know, in Western medicine, preventative healthcare largely has meant like vaccinations and or surgeries and stuff like that. But this case, because we don't have a vaccine and we may be as far out as 20 months before we have an approved vaccine, is like you can create your own preventative health by just having your immune system working at its full capacity, which is great. We've always should have been doing that. And I'm hoping now there's more attention put towards it.
Yeah. We really, it is amazing. Some of these things were like, we should have been doing this. What are some of your recommendations? I mean, we've talked about the immune system a lot on the show, but it's just like, okay, Jake, say you have coronavirus in your house.
Which I might.
Which you might. What, and say you were at, you were high risk, what would you do to help yourself?
I'm high risk and I might be exposed to coronavirus, but I'm not symptomatic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm high risk, I am participating to the best of my abilities in the social distancing, which I almost want to like create some new vocab for some of these buzzwords going around, because I don't really like socially distancing. I really feel like in times of crisis, you want a feeling of connection and closeness that you can create without breathing on each other. Which yeah. It's hard to foster, but nonetheless, you want to minimize unnecessary risk if you're in that high risk population. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, there's a lot of natural ways to support the immune system as much as possible. There's things like consuming certain minerals that are known to help with viral infections. Zinc being a really good one, selenium being another really important one. And then there's vitamins like vitamin C and vitamin D that are very good for fighting off viruses. So you just want to make sure you're not deficient in those things at the least. But things like vitamin C and zinc, you can have an excess amount for a short period of time, and that can even improve your chances. And even vitamin D to some extent. You don't want to do too much selenium, I don't think. But any supplement that contains selenium is going to have trace amounts. It's technically a trace mineral. Trace minerals meaning minerals that your body's dependent on, but you need very little amounts of. Whereas like the macro minerals like potassium and magnesium and sodium are the ones you want lots of. Anyway, those four things I would say you could supplement with. Excellent. Kind of important. You get selenium and zinc and things like mussels and oysters, like really high amounts, but also like Brazil nuts and stuff like that.
I love oysters. But you know what? I tried a new species of oysters recently and it was too oceany for me. Mad King oysters, not.
Well, there you go, everyone. Hot tip of the day. Going unless back you like the taste of ocean.
I like the taste. I mean, obviously, that's part of the reason you have an oyster. But it's also like, I just feel like I took a gulp of ocean water while I was surfing. That's not what you want. But hey, back to the back to viruses here, coronavirus. I did see some research showing how coconut oil seems to be very, very effective.
Yeah, I think did we not talk about this last week or the week before?
I think you and I just chatted privately about it.
Okay. I wrote a blog about it. The science isn't super valid yet. There's not enough work, but the work that is there is promising. And we've known for a long time coconut oil, particularly the MCT oils, particularly I think lauric acid, which is one of the MCTs, is a natural antiviral. And it's very prevalent in your general coconut oil. So you don't necessarily need to, you know, get out distilled medium chain triglycerides from it. You can just coconut oil in general, consume it into your body. And it's been pretty effective in some studies for potent viruses, including very dangerous viruses like HIV.
Totally. And this is what I would also do with it. It is nice to consume, you know, maybe you make some oatmeal or something. You can put a huge heaping tablespoon or two into your oatmeal. You can consume it just by itself. But I know some people who have stomach issues, that's a little bit, they could get kind of sensitive with that. obviously, you can put it in your tea or coffee and sip on that while you're doing your work at home at your laptop or whatever else you're doing, reading a book or whatever.
Let's make a nice curry.
Oh, yeah.
Coconut curry. Make a soup.
That's what I'm going to do tonight, I think. Yeah, it sounds really good. With all the ginger in it, too, and garlic. But, you know, I think it'd be really effective as a lotion. You know, people are washing their hands a lot right now. They're washing everything right now. Here's what also, if you overwash your hands, you're killing natural immune system cells on your skin. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. You do. I mean, this is researched and studied. This is why when you wash your face too much, you can be prone to acne, because now you're having lots of bacteria on your face that has nothing. The healthy bacteria that would just naturally be on your face are not taking up and occupying space. Now bad bacteria could come in and start, you know, when you get the whiteheads and the pimples, it's because your own immune cells are fighting and dying and they're becoming pus. Not to get really gross here.
Yeah. So think about those as like micro infections.
Those are micro infections. Totally. And so it's really healthy to have all this, you know, healthy microbiome on your skin. And
yeah, we're kind of sanitizing our society, a society that's very much built on a dependency towards healthy microbes. So there is going to be a long-term issue of how much sanitization we're doing right now. And maybe the downside is worth it to slow down the spread of this. I mean, you know, you can make an argument it is, but Nick's right. There are some natural ways that are very effective. The good thing about COVID-19 is that it is very susceptible to being killed off by many things, and it doesn't have to be bleached, and it doesn't have to have antibacterial soaps, because it's not even a bacteria.
Yeah.
That's the thing. People are using antibacterial soaps in bacteria, and when you use those, you're killing off your healthy bacteria that create health and balance in your body, but also the environment as a whole. And you can use a number of things. I, for work purposes, I'm using a hand sanitizer that is a combination of water, vodka, mostly water, to be fair, some vodka, and then essential oil blend that includes known antiviral agents like clove oil, cinnamon oil, rosemary, lemon, and eucalyptus.
That's fantastic. Hey, guess what? Yeah, plants all have their own immune systems. And sure you can use those immune systems to help you out, which is really cool. I love that. That's an awesome thing. Everyone needs to write. I'm going to write down that recipe myself.
Well, you can look it up. Okay. So the famous essential oil company, Young Living, has a blend called Thieves. And I'm pretty sure I just described Thieves. Mm-hmm. Now, why did they name this oil blend Thieves? Let me tell you, based on something I read 6 or 7 years ago.
This is the sweet spot for Jake and I. Totally unprepared talking about something that was like way from forever ago. Okay, go on.
Okay, so it's called Thieves because it was a blend of natural herbs and spices that were used by grave robbers to protect themselves from the plague, essentially. So these people were digging up graves, stealing jewelry and whatever treasures were buried with people. But some of these people were killed by the bubonic plague or whoever knows what. And they believed that if they covered themselves in these materials, that they would not be infected. And clearly, to some extent, that was true because it lived on. And this recipe or this natural blend of spices and herbs are in this kit. Lemon is, you know, it's also a fruit. This natural blend of essential oils kept people. So imagine this. Someone dies of the bubonic plague. These people go in, rob their graves, and rub themselves in this, you know, this combination and don't get the plague. That's like pretty good empirical evidence, I think. Just like, maybe anecdotal evidence of just they were definitely exposing themselves to it and lived on.
So Thieves is more of like a mascot, like the Oakland Raiders or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or something.
Yeah. You could say that. Yeah, there you go. So that is, I'm not putting like drops of thieves oil into my sanitizer, but that's the gist of it, is those oils.
That's awesome.
So essentially you can cook with those too. So you can use more cinnamon, you can use more clove, you can use more rosemary, lemon, things like that. But I encourage you, because most of us have extra free time, do some research, get into it, learn some things.
It is interesting how this time of year, the earth naturally produces a lot of citrus, and citrus seems to be also very effective at helping our flu seasons, our viral season, right? So citrus is good. But yeah, after you wash your hands or whatever, put some, you know, you could cover your whole body in coconut oil.
Yeah, it's got a lot of saturated fat, which is very biocompatible with our natural lipids. We're mostly saturated fat. Saturated fat's not a bad thing. It's types of fat, not saturated or unsaturated or monounsaturated. It's high quality. So biocompatible, it's a really good moisturizer as well as a natural antiviral agent.
Nice for the beard too, like nice beard balm.
So make your beard's looking extra healthy. You must be applying extra beard balming agents to it.
I trimmed it severely.
What?
I pruned really? The edges. I know it doesn't really seem like it, but my beard gets a little shy sometimes. So when it does, today is not a shy day, but it like curls crazily. And then I'll wake up one morning and my beard looks like a totally different animal. Problems. Hashtag beard problems.
How's our dog?
But hey, you know what? I think this would be a great time for us to start talking about maybe something that we want to talk about here, which is... Jake and I both have our mouths open.
I'm waiting in anticipation because we don't know. I don't know what Nick's about to say. That's our dog. If you're thinking about adopting her, she's barking. Can you hear her? Can you not hear her, Nick?
We could hear her, but no one can complain. She's a rescue, okay?
But also, a delivery guy came to the door, so that is warranted. Yeah. You know? She should be barking at him. How dare he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or she. It's 2020. Delivery men can be women too, you know?
And what did you get? Toilet paper?
No, yeah. It's a late lunch or early dinner. No, no, no. Toilet paper. What am I, a king, Nick? What do you think this is? I don't have that kind of access.
I know. I mean, honestly.
We've been using shrubs.
Yeah, if we're going to be real here, we ran out of toilet paper yesterday. It seems like it might be a while, but you know what? We have lots of paper towel. So something. I'm building a bidet. not true. But hey, look, this is something that would be really nice. I think for my own personal reasons, this would be a fun topic to talk about.
Okay.
How do you make the most out of sheltering in place or quarantine?
Okay.
How do you make the most out of social distancing?
Well, what I've been doing is just really pacing back and forth in my living room, going over regrets in life. That's what I've been doing.
Seems healthy.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I've just been eating more.
Okay. That sounds like a good plan. If my grocery stores had food in them, I'd be doing the same.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, okay, I know a lot of people they've at least where I'm at, you know, we're about a week in from this whole shelter in place thing. And I know a lot of people first 2 days are like, we're going to go strong. Nice. Man, your dog is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people were going pretty heavy duty with the whole shelter in place thing. And and we're a week in, and I think now people are like, ooh, I might have gone a little strong in what I was doing before, and I don't think I really want to do this for maybe months or whatever we have to do this for. So now people are starting to be like, okay, how can I make the most of the situation? What can I do to work on myself? What's some personal growth that could happen at home? How do I get my kids in a nice routine that's makes everyone happy? you know, these are some questions people are wrestling with. We don't have answers to all of this, but we have some ideas, I think.
Yeah, great opportunity to create a new routine, to change it up. Kind of forced to break routine, or kind of maybe you even had projects where you're like, this is something I'm moving towards or allocating resources towards, and this can put maybe put a complete hold on it. And now you have a chance to be like, well, is this really what I want to do? Or is there a, maybe an opportunity to pivot into something that's maybe even better? So you get an opportunity to take a step back and just pause and reflect and say, you know, what's a priority to me? So I guess times like this are ways to reprioritize. But I think a really good thing is to enjoy and to recenter. So go back to self. This is like a time where external distractions could potentially be minimized. It's easy for you to be on your whatever media devices, like staying really plugged into that. But for me, it's like I have less interactions and less time outside the home. And so I can control it. You know, when I'm like a normal week for me, I have a lot of interactions with people and certain obligations to be on my phone and on my email, et cetera. Not so much now. So I have time where I can refocus and prioritize in the home. So what we're trying to do is we're doing more time together, doing self-care. I mean, both of us here are healers, so we can work on each other more, which is convenient. Nice. We can stretch and do yoga and listen to music and creatively write. We get to try new recipes. I've been weirdly baking more than I normally
nice.
Do. That's not another way weird. You could
for you.
No, but I don't bake that much. I cook a lot. You can another way to incorporate more coconut oil into things. Goes well on baked goods. And also do the annoying things I've been putting off, like businessy little auditings type stuff. You know, you can do self audits of your whole life. You can do those things.
Yeah. Totally.
So I like to look at when I do like self audits, and when I look towards moving more towards health, I look at three categories primarily. And it's like physical stressors, biochemical, and mental, emotional. So I'm looking at which of those stressors, because stress isn't good or bad. It needs context. So when I say a stressor, I don't necessarily mean it's a negative. So physical stressors could be a really positive exercise. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to the gym right now. So it's like a good opportunity to just, you know, do a whole bunch of squats. Actually, I thought about something early this week and I haven't stuck to it. But I think it would have been a good idea. Maybe I'll still do it. Which is every day trying to do 200 bodyweight squats, 150 sit-ups, and 100 push-ups and walk or run 2 miles.
That's nice.
That's good for me. That's not good for everyone listening to this pod. Like, I wouldn't recommend that our mom do that. But I thought that would have been good, but then our friends of the podcast, Matt and Kristen Marr, built like a makeshift gym in their garage.
Oh, really?
Like Matt ordered a bunch of stuff. So that I just go over to their place and I work out. So I got to change my at home workout plans. But I thought that plan would have been good for me, but there's a lot you can do at home to stay physically healthy and to appropriately stress yourself physically. And you also want to avoid unnecessary physical stresses. One way to physically stress your body, especially your spine, is to sit down all day.
Totally.
But don't do that.
Totally. I'm seeing a lot of that. Like, people are feeling kind of achy pains and they're getting headaches more right now because they're sitting, they're slouching over their phone. They're maybe some people are staring at a computer screen than, you know, longer than they normally would have. There's lots of that kind of stress and strain. People don't really consider stress, but it is just like, you know, it's stress. It's stressful to your body, to your neurology.
Yeah. So stress needs context to say whether it's good or bad. And it really comes down to appropriate intensity and duration. So you have to look about those factors. Sitting down is biomechanically not the best thing for your spine, but it's fine. It's like a very low level stress and the intensity is low. So then you have to look at the other factor, duration. And long sits are not good. And anyone on a very long car ride or transatlantic flight or whatever can know, like, yeah, that seems like it's too much for my back. Most people's bodies are kind of achy or painful after that. Anyway, that's true for mental emotional stress, and that's true for biochemical. So biochemical stress is really like the biochemicals that you interact with and have to process. So primarily that means food. It also means viruses, by the way.
Yeah.
So a virus could fall under that biochemical stress for you, but
yeah, inflammation.
Point is
all that stuff.
So you want to, anytime you eat, it's technically stressful on your body. Your body has to like deal with stuff, but it could be for your benefit if there's a lot of nutrients at the end of the digestion process, but it could be detrimental if there's a lot of anti-nutrients at the end of the digestive process. So it's a really fun time to like hunker down and watch movies and like eat whatever you want to.
Totally.
But you probably want to create a balance in that.
Yeah. And, you know, balance goes hand in hand with, you know, boundaries. If we basically all have to parent ourselves right now. You know, I know there's like, for instance, my wife, she is a night owl by nature. And she has to parent herself to be like, I'm not going to just stay This dog is obsessed with Jake.
She wants to be the podcast dog, Nick, but she's obsessed with me. You know, those like weird janky ladders that you can pull down from your ceiling and climb up to your attic.
Yeah.
She followed me up that ladder.
That's pretty funny. What are the chances that you're going to keep her?
Like probably 50-50 right now.
That's good. I forget what I was saying, but it seems irrelevant after looking at a happy dog.
I know. Everyone go get a dog.
Yeah. You know what I'm trying to do more of? So I figured this is a good time for me to go off coffee.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm not like, it's not really the coffee thing. It's more of a caffeine. I'm trying, you know, I'm like, hey, look, I realized that I was operating at a pretty high level of stress and that the whole world around me is like really stressed out. And I just decided I don't want to be there anymore. And so I'm doing all these things to just eliminate all kinds of stress. I'm basically treating myself like a little kid these days and just like having a good time, trying to have fun and play. And
we're trying to laugh more. So I was like revisiting, because you know, you start like a new comedy or a new TV show and it's always like, I don't know, this didn't seem like a time for me to experiment on comedy. I went with what I knew made me laugh the most per like minute,
which is what,
30 Rock.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe not my favorite comedy ever, that might, like TV show, that might be, I don't know, Arrested Development or The Office or Parks and Rec, but I just laugh the most with 30 Rock. And so laughter is really beneficial. And there's actually a great If you guys want a good book to read during your quarantine time, read Anatomy of an Illness. I think that's what it's called. But this guy, who's a journalist, was diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis, which is degenerative disease that's really bad. It could kill you. You familiar with it, Nick?
Yeah.
Probably have to talk about it in school because I haven't seen an actual patient with it. But he just checked himself essentially into a hotel, rented, like, because this was, I think, maybe in the 70s when he did it, but he rented all like the Marx Brothers and whatever funny comedies he could and just watched comedies for days in a row while getting IV vitamin C therapy. And he beat it. An untreatable illness. So he thinks it's laughter. Some people could say, well, that's just a lot of vitamin C, which would have been beneficial as well. But he thinks it was the combination. He did his research before he decided to do that. And I haven't done any more research, Nick. I'm just reporting to you a book that's worth reading. Or articles worth Googling.
I love journalist experiments about health because it is nice. You know, they do, you know, people say you can't see the forest for the trees or whatever. Well, they see the trees for the forest.
Yeah.
They pick something and they're like, I'm going to go on this. And of course they're amazing authors and it's just so brilliant to read and fun to, and you know what? It's good too, because if you read one of those things, and there's lots of them, there's lots of really good health journalist books that are fantastic. They're not doctors or anything, but they're just brilliant people, well-researched, and they're convincing. And it's good to be convinced, because then you try it out and you're probably going to have really good results too.
Yeah, well, placebo is really important. And we've talked about placebo a lot in our pond, because it, to me, it's the most fascinating scientific ongoing study that we've done, right? All the meds, at least in the United States, get tested against the placebo. So it's a very well documented situation that we haven't fully explored. It's observed and it's documented because it's every drug's tested against it. So there's a lot of testing. And all we know is that it's very effective.
Yeah.
Which should mean you shouldn't be like, you shouldn't be dismissive. I see it all the time. Like, well, that's just the placebo effect. I'm like, well, no, it's the placebo effect. Super important. And very powerful. And it says something a lot about our body's ability to heal when the conditions are right. And and the placebo is like saying the part of the conditions are belief.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, okay, so this has actually been a big project for mine of the whole year so far, but it's intensified with a little bit of extra free time. And, you know, like I'm not completely working from home. I'm doing house calls and I'm doing some virtual stuff. I have some stuff in practice, but that those numbers have gone down. So I have more free time and I'm being very particular about my free time. And one of the things I'm doing is I am being very purposeful about canceling out all of my nocebo.
There we go. Let's talk about nocebo.
So nocebo is obviously the negative effects of belief.
Meaning same on your principle. Body. Yeah.
Reverse.
Same principle of placebo is you believe something will be beneficial, you're more likely to see beneficial results. Nocebo is you believe something to be negative or detrimental, you're more likely to see those results as well.
Yeah. And you have to really pay attention to nocebo because it's a lot of people, it's blind spots for them, you know. So once you start the ball rolling, though, you start to gain some speed, you know, like I'm just trying to think of an example. Here's a nocebo example. I think I hear a lot of people talk about with weight, and you hear it splattered all over health and fitness culture and everything, that calories are the most significant thing contributing to your weight. Too much calories means that you will be fat. Okay. So everyone just heard me say that and they're like, I don't hear a problem with that. Well, here's the number one problem. Who says you actually use every single one of the calories from your diet actually gets put into your bloodstream and then you use it or you don't use it? No one says that. If you have a high metabolism, you don't absorb everything that you're eating, number one.
Yep.
That is absolutely true. Checks out. And so one person to another will absorb calories differently. Well, then make that your placebo. If you're a person who struggles with weight, then you need to start saying, I don't absorb all these calories. I can eat like my wife, she's half of my weight and we have literally the same diet because I cook everything. We split everything down the middle. Okay. And so I eat the same amount of her as her, but I literally weigh twice as much as her. So, yeah, wow. I see her and I'm like, dude, my placebo, I'm definitely canceling out the nocebo, but the placebo would be like, I can eat the same that she can, because why not? Who says? You might be like, well, your genetics, well, your whatever. But no, this is the point. You cancel out all of those, the whole big puzzle, and then your body transforms. Guess what? I've actually done nothing in the last month, and I've lost 10 pounds.
Canceling out nocebos?
Yeah, just working with my nocebos. And I have probably trained even less than I was the month before.
Nice, Nick. But yeah, if you want to lose weight, don't exercise super hard.
Totally.
That is a way. That's a way to get more fit, and that's a way to like put on more muscle, which is very important. But that's not how you lose weight.
It will stall.
You're not gonna like jog your way.
Totally.
Yeah. So, Nick, this is interesting. One thing I try to teach people is like calories aren't a bad thing. They've become a bad thing because of programs like Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig, which can be very effective for people, but not largely effective for we all would just do Weight Watchers. It's because calories shouldn't be viewed as a negative in your life. Calories are a measure. They're literally a unit of energy or usable energy in the body. Let me ask you, Nick, do you think you could use more energy in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think all of your clients could use more energy in their life?
They're asking for it already.
Well, you need calories. That is, calories are literally just a unit of possible, like potential energy for your body to use to do things that your body needs to do, like have a healthy immune system, by the way. So calories aren't a bad thing. But the type of calorie will change how your body adapts to it and how it's used and how it creates a cascade of different physiological changes in the body. So, yes, I think an important thing when you're thinking about calorie consumption is letting go of the attachment to the idea that calories are bad. Calories are just energy. It's just potential energy for your body to use. Not a bad thing. You just have to become a better energy user and make good energy choices as well.
Totally.
So, why do we talk about that again?
Well, we're talking about nocebo. Canceling out beliefs. You know, this is my meditation about this, because everyone right now is going to probably have some kind of symptom at some point in their week. And it could be any kind of symptom. So I'm going to make this as general as possible. But in this next week, this is your homework, people. You're going to have a symptom come up. It might be a headache. It might be a backache. It might be a stomach ache. It might be some kind of pain. It might be, I don't know, a cough. It could be bowel issues. It could be all kinds of stuff. Okay. In the next week, when you have one of these things come, and maybe it's something that happens all the time, and so maybe you are very aware of it. For instance, I used to get terrible migraines and headaches all the time. Say I got this in the next week. Okay. I want you to stop resisting it, number one. And then I want you to, instead of just going through this dialogue about in your head that has, you know, some maybe anxious or fearful talk about it, I want you to go into the symptom, release it, release resistance to it. And then when all the beliefs start coming up about it, that's when you start canceling. Bang. That's your ammunition. These, you'll, you know, you'll be in this position and then you'll start to hear like, oh, Nick, well, the reason why you get these headaches is because you're so stressed out. I'm like, what? Like, that's why I get the headaches? Like, who said that? No one said that. There's no textbook out there about me and my headaches. No one's researched it. Who says? And start to cancel these things out. Even if you can't make a strong argument in the opposite direction, you just start to say no.
And so good.
Lose the foothold of whatever this thing is in your life, this false belief you have. And it'll be really amazing because that, you know, I think wherever you have the symptom, that's probably where you have a lot of false beliefs anyways. So that's a good place to start.
Totally. Nick.
Yes.
I want to segue this into a rant that's going on in my head.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to try and restrain myself here. Okay. So on social media, I follow this influencer, if you will. She's a yogi. Very well followed, tons of followers, been in magazines, etc. She's good at what she does. And I saw a picture of her yesterday on my feed on like a hospital bed with a mask on. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, this is like a picture of health. And in the caption, it said, 3 days ago, I started experiencing a shortness of breath. And I go, well, no. Right? So I clicked read more. And then here's the rest of the story. She started experiencing a shortness of breath. So she went to the clinic. Doctor evaluated her and sent her home with a non-COVID related viral infection. So what did she do? She went to 3 more clinics looking for a diagnosis, which she didn't get. So defeated, she went home to rest and recover. So the end of her post started talking about, hey, I'm doing everything I can to like support my immune system and I'm resting at home. I hope you're doing the same. Good enough message at the end of the day. But here's this girl is a picture of health and by all accounts, like a health leader in the virtual community. People look to her for some kind of education and guidance. She started feeling symptoms of, well, some sort of infection and went to a clinic, didn't get her diagnosis, went to 3 more. So first of all, a great way right now to get exposed to a coronavirus is to go to some kind of treatment center like a hospital. That's where you're going to get exposed to it. Also, great way to tie up resources. People's time and attention and hospital resources, which could go towards people that are more vulnerable or more at risk. This is like a 30-something-year-old super healthy person. And so at the end of the day, at the end of this post, she's at home resting and trying to be healthy, which if she... If she had been diagnosed with COVID-19, the doctor would have told her to go home and rest and like do everything that basically she would have done if she got some other viral infection. And yet she wasn't satisfied. So at the end of the day, that's what she did. She went home and she's resting and trying to be as healthy as possible. But what she did was unnecessarily expose herself to potential infectious people, or if she did have the illness, expose other people and again, tie up, you know, healthcare resources just to go home and rest like she would have done at the end of the day, which, well, then the other thing I think that upsets me more than anything is she's like an influencer on the internet and she was just telling people that she went to 4 clinics to try and get a diagnosis of coronavirus when at the end of the day, regardless of what happened, diagnosis or not, she would have been sent home to recover and heal on her own.
Yeah.
I think it's important for people to know healthy young people don't get hospitalized for this. You'll get sent home to go heal. There's no shot or treatment. So just go home.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea to just stay at home, not expose people unnecessarily to you if you are infected, and just to be as healthy as possible. Don't go to four clinics to try and get, I mean, part of me thinks she wanted to get that diagnosis so she could be special. Again, it's kind of a novelty in the United States. Like, what, 4,000 people have been diagnosed, which means way more people than 4,000 have it, if that's the number right now. But
yeah,
I think she wanted it. I think she wanted it for internet purposes.
She wants to be she's an attention, using polite terminology here, she wants to be a victim to get attention and approval.
She's famous for being healthy, though, you know? It's weird. It's a weird time, Nick. But here's the truth. This feels weird to say. Just the fact that, like, we're being asked to quarantine, and the fact that I'm not really seeing clients face-to-face right now, I wouldn't mind being exposed to it right now. And that seems weird to say. But here's why I'll say it. One, I'm not saying this as, like, a holistic doctor. The CD says the majority of people that get exposed to this are going to have mild symptoms. So I kind of want to get exposed to it while I'm in quarantine, while I'm not, like, my odds are less likely of infecting others, and just so I can build immunity to it. And so in the future, I can go and I can serve the elderly. I can serve the people that need my help without worry of infecting them or worry of infection.
Yeah. No,
I'm not personally concerned about getting this virus. Again, majority of people are going to have mild symptoms according to the CDC, and I trust them.
Yeah. I mean, 80% of people estimated in the next year and a half are going to be in contact with it.
Again, most people, mild symptoms. So don't worry, just because the fact that 80% is a lot of people.
It sounds like a lot, but you know what? If this is really as virulent as they say it is, meaning like it's catchable and it stays alive and all those things that make it virulent, not that it's alive, it's just doesn't desiccate really quickly. Probably way more people have come in contact with it than anyone has reported because we're not testing everybody.
Yeah. So that's true. We don't have the test. We will. Pretty soon it'll be like, there'll be like cheap tests you can get for like $7. But Nick, there's only really been one example of a controlled population where everyone was tested. The Diamond Princess cruise ship.
Here's the thing about this. Okay. The Diamond Princess cruise ship. Cruise ships are notorious for having bad virus issues. Every year two people died of the norovirus on a cruise ship. And you're like, the norovirus? Come on. It's like, not really even.
Well, okay. The norovirus is essentially what we call the stomach bug, and it shouldn't kill you, but it does kill people, mostly super vulnerable, sick people. Now, the thing about using a control population of a cruise ship is it's not like a good example of the typical population, right? Cruise ships are, for one thing, entirely swayed, or you could say the average is pushed towards the elderly. Not fair to say? Mm-hmm. Okay. And on top of that, you're living on top of each other, like recirculated air.
Which is the way that you catch these things.
Great way to get an illness. Now, that being said, this is an interesting study because there's like roughly 3,700 people on this cruise ship and almost all of them were tested. So that's really cool. The problem in the United States and even in China is that only people that were severely symptomatic are really being tested for the most part.
Totally.
That makes sense. There's like NBA players that were in contact with people that are being tested and stuff like that. But for the most part, the typical population is not being tested. So the Diamond Princess cruise was. And so it's interesting. So you can start actually looking at numbers that are meaningful there. What are the numbers, Nick? Well, out of 3,700 or 3,200, I want to say 3,700 people, about 600 or so were infected. So what's the math on that, Nick? Doesn't matter, but it's less than 20%. And that's interesting to say, because like this is recirculated air and like people coming in close contact with each other, and they were like kept on that cruise for longer than they should, right? This was like a great way for a lot of people to be infected. And it was still about 17%, give or take. It's pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. Now, of those 600 or so people, a little over 300 were symptomatic. So roughly half the people, I think it was, let's say about half. Half the people were symptomatic, half weren't. So what that's being said is these tests we're doing on like mortality rates are on infected people. I mean, symptomatic infected people.
Yeah.
We're not testing, for the most part, non-symptomatic people. So mortality rates of people exposed to this are hard to estimate, except you can estimate on this cruise ship. That being said, most of the people are old on this cruise ship, okay? So it's not great numbers. But of that being said, the mortality rate on that cruise ship was just under 1%. Okay. And this is a condition where people are living on top of each other, recirculated air, and primarily elderly. And it was just under 1% mortality rate. Okay. And that was, I forget, but a good chunk of the population was like over 70 years old on that thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, extrapolate this to China. China had something like a little over 1% of cases, tested cases, were fatal. So if you use those numbers that like half the population was asymptomatic, then you're looking at like a 0.5% fatality. Anyway, too many numbers probably for our pod. It strays away from our keeping it loose kind of mentality around here. But the point is, it's not that dangerous, or it's not that deadly as maybe you out there listening to thinks it's like if you get it, it's bad news for you. That's not necessarily true. Now, it still takes caution, and it's still, this is a great time for wisdom and doing the right thing for the care of yourself and your family. But fearful of this thing, you should not be.
Yes. And something else important to note that is a stat that no one ever keeps track of is that 100% of the people were exposed on that cruise ship. 100%.
17 got infected.
Yeah.
Why is that, Nick? Can I talk about it?
Yeah, go for it.
It's because your body takes care of viruses very efficiently. So when you get an infected tissue, so a virus basically is
DNA.
It's a non-living organism. It's dependent on another living thing to reproduce. So it can't reproduce on its own. It infects by invading a cell, getting into the nucleus and using your DNA to replicate itself, destroys the cell, releases itself back into the system, looks for another like weak point to infect. Now, what happens is when this thing invades, a cell releases fluids into its surrounding environment, creating an inflammatory response. And when there's an inflammation in the body, and this is really important because people that were taking like aspirin to treat their fevers had a higher mortality rate because they were essentially crashing their own inflammation system, which is important for your immunity. So
you're not going to find that in a drug ad though.
No. So anyway, you don't want to take an NSAID necessarily to fight your fever for this because you're suppressing immune system function. Now, when the body says like, okay, there's damaged cells, which is what's happening when a virus first initiates. It's going to send essentially macrophages, also called phagocytes, to the area to consume both viruses, but also damaged tissue. And then when it does that, it's going to send signals out to your other immune cells, like killer T cells and B cells, that are going to make antibodies. Okay. And antibodies are what's going to create like long-term resistance to it. But the point is, when you initially get affected, whatever tissue gets affected sends signals to the body as a whole, including your hypothalamus. And your hypothalamus, if it picks up there's an infection, is going to do things like create a fever to slow the spread or to stop the reproduction cycle. It's going to send things that are going to, whatever, suppress your appetite, and it's going to create tension in your muscles to change blood flow. It's going to do a lot of things that create the symptoms of being sick, but that's actually the symptoms of your immune system working. The virus wouldn't create those symptoms. It's your immune system engaging. Very important to know. Now, I don't even know where I'm going with this, Nick. But the point is, what happens for most of us is this initial infection of cells. So in this instance, particularly airways like throat and lungs, and your body recognizes them, creates inflammation, sends phagocytes, creates antibodies with your B, like lymphocytes and killer T cells or whatever. And your body takes care of business before it infects your blood. When it infects your blood, then it becomes systemic in a way, and then you get really sick. But most of the time when we get exposed to viruses, it gets taken care of before it spreads to the entire system. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So that's why a lot of us will encounter the flu every single year and be fine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So really, the numbers are not that provocative, I think.
No.
Epidemiologist from Stanford, I don't know how to say his name, Ioannidis, Dr. Ioannidis. It's like a Greek name, but he's the epidemiologist from Stanford. And he was saying, he just released this the other day. And so you might have already heard some of the stuff that he's talking about, but
I saw this too, and I have a patient with the same last name, and I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm not going to.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. It's basically like we've been irresponsible about the way, you know, we've reacted based off of just normal numbers, the stats about it, because he is an epidemiologist. He does this for a living.
Yeah, and Stanford too. It's a credible institution.
Yeah. And yeah, so he's put it within a window of mortality rate of 0.025% to 1%, right?
That 1% being the best example we know, which is that Diamond Princess Cruise, right? Saying like, this is the best population study we have, and it's the worst case scenario, recirculated air, elderly population.
Yeah.
And that was still like 1%.
So he's saying that's basically the numbers for most flu viruses that go through, just to give us a little bit of perspective about it. This is what, you know, I am not an expert on epidemiology, but this guy is, and that's what he says. There you go. What else do we have to talk about? I think I probably got to get going here pretty soon.
You have to go? Yeah, I do too. I'm actually doing this won't come out in time for the pod, but I'm doing like a streaming health talk on like just dealing with the stress of this time, because this is what's really important. I wrote a blog on this week, but nothing crashes your immune system function like the state of fear. So the emotions of fear tell your body that immune system function is not important. What's important is running and fighting for your life. And so what happens is right now the media or your neighbor or mother-in-law or best friend can put you in a state of fear based on just whatever information's going around. And your subconscious mind and nervous system doesn't know the difference between any perceived threat. So like a tiger or just whatever state of fear is being spread as far as like where we'll never have toilet paper again, or everyone's going to get this disease and die. Whatever it is, your body goes into a state of fight or flight or sympathetic nervous system function. And that in turn signals your immune system to be suppressed, because your immune system takes a lot of energy. And if your body thinks it's going to need to run or fight for its life, it's going to allocate energy to those particular functions that are important for those two things. And that's it. So a great way to not have a working immune system is to be emotionally and mentally stressed about whatever the case. So again, like we talked about earlier in the pod, laugh, get together with a friend, you know, watch 30 Rock, watch whatever's good for you, exercise, do meditations, do breathing, anything to get yourself into a state of rest. That's going to give your immune system its best chance of working appropriately when you do encounter this. And the CDC says most of us will encounter this in the next year or two. And there's a chance it becomes endemic, meaning it's just going to be part of the circulation of viruses that we encounter, just like other coronaviruses and just like the swine flu or aviation flu or H1N1 or whatever. They're like in the system. They haven't been eliminated. They're just out there. But most of us have built immunities to them now at this point, so we won't talk about it. There's a chance that this becomes that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you shared some pretty good wrap up points. If people want to find, you want to watch that video, the health talk you're doing, where can they find it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not doing it. I'm just showing up to a thing and talking. Oh. So I don't know.
Okay.
But probably maybe by Googling me.
Okay, cool. Well, here's my last little bit just to kind of tag along with what Jake was saying. I'm finding this is a great time to connect with people.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of people. I mean, you're not going to connect in person. I talked to our dad for an hour this morning. It was awesome.
Me too. I've done that in a long time.
I know. Yeah. And you know, I have other friends reaching out to and whatever. It's, you know, this is a great time to reconnect with people, like an actual person. This is a good time to read all the books you've always wanted to read. Oh, yeah. Everyone has a bunch of books they want to read and then no one ever does it. This is a great time. You know, I'm sure you can get The Count of Monte Cristo on Amazon.com and have it delivered to your door tomorrow. Probably.
It's only like 700 pages. Get after it.
Yeah. 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 So there's lots of, I mean, here's one other thing we've been doing. We bought some board games.
Oh,
there wasn't any paper, but then we turned the corner and there were some board games and we're like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. Hey, this is a good time. Good time to have some fun, you know, to enjoy people and be like a real human being who connects with other people and doesn't get so caught up in the world, because you never controlled the world in the first place. You don't have to try to control it now.
That's the truth.
And, you know, but you have people around you that you can love and take care of, and they can love you back, and you can be open to their love and have mutual love. Bam. That's what you were looking for a month ago, and now it's right in front of you. Great.
What an opportunity.
Totally. Well, I do have to go.
Good stuff, Nick.
Yeah.
Hey, if it's still next week and we're extra quarantining, maybe we'll do a bonus pod.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Let's do it. Yeah.
Also,
maybe we'll just be stream somewhere or something.
Yeah. Or be busy, because all of you listening want to do virtual consults, and that's great. This is a rare time when I can afford to do affordable one-on-ones with whomever. And I want to. This is a extra time of need. And, you know, the really the mission in my household is in service towards wholeness and health for people. And I know a lot of people are anxious right now. So reach out to me. I want to support you.
Totally. So you can start lining up on thecultivatedbeing@gmail.com. If you want to reach out to us, obviously we have our Instagrams. We always list Dr. Jake Hyde, dr.jakehyde is your Instagram.
Your and then just drjakehyde.com for my site.
You can find me a couple places, the real Nick Hyde or Dr. Nick Hyde on Instagram. And reach out to us. We're here to help and we love you guys and enjoy and have a good week. And hopefully we'll see you really soon.
Nick, I'm concerned about not being able to hug people for a while. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
People don't want it.
No one's.
What am I going to do, Nick?
No one's letting me kiss them on the mouth anymore. So.
Oh, man.
All right. Well,
these are dark times indeed. All right. I love you. Bye. Bye.